Good morning. 7:10 a.m. Monday, August the 22nd, 2016. I'm out. I'm walking and moving. Yesterday was a non-day. I didn't get anything really accomplished yesterday. I was up late because the kid was out late and I couldn't go to bed until she got home. I slept in way too late. It was a hot day yesterday. Real hot day yesterday, 90 something. And it was well over 80 by the time I got awake and moving. And the sun was up and I wasn't about to go out and broil. So yeah, yesterday was nope. But I'm up, I'm out, I'm moving today. See if I can't. It's Monday, it's a work day, it's a work week. I need to get 5,000 words today. I need to get this to fire called moving. Walking toward a guy, he's got a, I thought he had a little dog running around his feet. It's one of those long-handled pooper scoopers that's swinging back and forth. From a distance, it looks like a little black dog running around. Good morning. Lady in her bathrobe pouring something onto her lawn. That's interesting. It's only 55, 56, mid-50s this morning. And yet I've been walking along pretty hard, I guess, because I'm worked up a sweat. Also feeling a little queasy and uneasy. So yeah, I have to also make a book order today. I have one whole set of shares, which I have promised, and which I need to get back to Dan about. So he can have a set. I probably could also put South Coast into paper. That's the one that's been lagging behind. But I've got a bunch of books I've got to get together for Night Elves. I also have to finish that presentation. I'll get it. It's interesting going through and making graphical representations of things that I recognize. Like the effect of a soft launch, where if you can maintain a low level of sales over a long period of time, your sales rank actually looks better. It's, you don't get that big 1 or 2 hours at a really high level and then nothing. You get a medium size. Sales rank over a much longer period of time. So that was, it was interesting for me to actually do the graphs out and do the counting and do some estimating of what we think the black box might look like in terms of Amazon algorithms. So I gotta go back and look at the proposal that I sent so that I know what it is I'm supposed to cover. I think I've got the outline. What I need to do is to put it into the form of an outline so I can then import the outline into presentation software. So all of the slides are created for me, and then all I have to do is go through and put the graphics in them. But basically it's lists, tools like Author Central. It's amazing how many people don't understand that there's a difference between the popularity list and the bestseller list. Or how, even roughly, how they're put together. There's still a large number of people who think that the number of reviews that you have is significant to Amazon. So if you get 20 reviews, Amazon looks at you better. If you get 50 reviews, Amazon looks at you better, which is completely unfounded. Good morning. I'm not going to say it's false, but there's no data to support that supposition. There's no data to support that reality. In large part, I think it's because if you get reviews, you're getting sales. And newer books tend to get more reviews. Newer books tend to have better velocity. Newer books tend to have higher sales ranks, which makes you visible more, which yields more sales. And so it looks like there's a causal relationship between reviews and sales, which I do not believe exist. I think there is a correlation. So I think the causal relationship is sales create reviews, not the other way around. The problem with reviews, particularly Amazon reviews, if I can get a review on a site like Wealth, for example, mine, peer-reviewed. If you can get a review on Mel Hayes' site, where people are actually looking for reviews, looking for what Mel Hayes says about books, that's a different deal. That's a different deal. Is it worth pursuing? I don't know. In large part because the places where it might make a significant difference are already heavily subscribed. So I don't know what Mel is reading now, but probably something on a review that's going to appear around Christmas. I've got to have to write some reviews myself. I've got Mondays and Fridays scheduled pretty good. Dave Higgins and Samantha Bryant both sent me several reviews for peer-reviewed, speaking of peer-reviewed. But I try not to put people more than once a week. So Samantha Bryant pretty much owns Fridays. Monk Post. Dave Higgins has, after today, because I don't think he's got today, I think he's got today, Jonathan Brazzi. I wish Brazzi had a Twitter account so I could actually link to him. But he's got Sarah King's Fortunes Rising this morning. I haven't read it yet, but I do like Sarah King's work. I read her Zero series, Rise of Zero. And I liked it a lot. She has, it's military, it's really military science fiction, but she has a good take on characterization. And I like the way she writes. So. It's on peer review today. What am I reading? I'm reading, what is it? Oh, shoot. Home Interstellar, Ray Strong. I may write that one up for next week. I've tried a couple. I got a bunch of indies lately. While I was reading the Laneige series, I accumulated some titles on my TBR list. And a couple of romances, a few likely looking science fiction books. Several of them, it's like, you start with a prologue, you've already got one foot in the grave. If chapter one goes on to tell you exactly what happened in prologue, or to cast light on the prologue, to repeat the prologue, that's the other foot you're on. I don't know what the hell it is with prologues. People don't seem to get what a prologue is. I did write a post for Recommend Fiction Writers on in defense of the prologue. And I understand how it was used as a rhetorical device way in the back when they began in Greek drama. I understand the prologue was necessary because the people seeing the stories, which were stories of, in many cases, stories of historical, legendary kinds of kings and queens and persons of note. But not everybody would have heard of them. Not everybody would have known them. Not everybody would have had them as a kind of cultural referent. And while I get that a lot of people see their prologue as pretty much the same, the reality is that's an old rhetorical device. And you don't really, I expect to get that sort of background from the context.
Good morning.
Good morning. And not have it spoon-fed to me. And then have the author beat me over the head by repeating everything that was in the prologue. That's just dumb. Sam Hunt did that in Outlaw King. Outlaw King was a really good book. He lost me at the end because he cliffed me, and it was a serial, not a series, or it was a series. It's just apparently each each book had a cliff at the end. I hit the first cliff, and while I enjoyed his title, I enjoyed Outlaw King. I thought it was pretty cool. It was sort of a cross between The Hobbit and Gunslinger. It was really well written, but the cliff pretty much did me. Okay, what the hell is this? Mosquito spraying? Graffiti patrol, I think. Yep, graffiti removal. Guy with a power washer. Ah, I'm hungry this morning. I'm so hungry. I don't know what I'm going to eat. Bagel, probably. That's pretty cool. So you got a power washer mounted in this big truck. I don't know what he's doing now. Just standing there spraying water. Dude, come straight on my lawn. My lawn looks actually pretty good. Having it get mowed regularly, having it get watered regularly, makes a difference. Here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.